The reading today comes from John chapter 18, starting at verse 28. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would have not handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of the world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came to the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion.
Let's pray. God, we thank you that you, Lord of all, we thank you that you have given us your written word, the Bible, that we might know the truth of who you are. And we thank you for Jesus and his revealing of the living word as well. God, this morning, would you be speaking your truth to us, we pray. Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us this morning? And may you be speaking truth and light in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this Easter, we are thinking about the truth of it. And today we think about the truth of the crucified king. But what is truth? In our postmodern world, we're giving the phrase, "you do you," so that if we object to one another, then that's all right, you do you and everything's okay. Objective truth is in the eye of the beholder. Sure, we'll still stand by the age-old truths that 2 plus 2 equals 4, but we all know from primary school that 1 plus 1 equals window. And we'll stand by gravity and the laws of gravity. We'll recognise that there is truth in facts. And even without scientific evidence, we'll probably still practice old behaviours that have been passed down through the generations, such as rubbing some Vicks Vapor Rub on the sole of our feet when we've got a cold to get rid of it, putting banana peel on warts, or sweating out our fever when we've got one. And if what I believe in my way of life doesn't agree with yours, well, as long as it's not hurting anyone, that's okay. I'll do me, you do you, and we'll all be okay. Our truths and our beliefs should go hand in hand, but this isn't always the case. So what is truth? It's this very question that Pilate asked Jesus in response to Jesus saying that the reason he came to the world was to testify to the truth. See, the Jewish leaders had handed Jesus over to Pilate, wanting him to be crucified. But in all his questioning, Pilate wasn't actually able to determine what Jesus had done that was worthy of being crucified. What had he done? Were the claims about him actually true and verifiable? See, truth for Pilate in this situation was, what are the facts? Give me something that I can hang my hat on one way or the other. And you can almost hear him at this point in his questioning of Jesus, in exasperation, asking Jesus, what is truth? You've got a charge against you that your people want you to be killed and crucified. And yet you're not telling me one way or the other. You're not defending yourself around these facts. And everything that I'm seeing doesn't actually verify that you are worthy of death. And so what is truth? Why do you say this and not defend yourself in this moment? I wonder this morning and today how many of us feel like Pilate in that situation. Jesus, we're calling out to you to understand the truth of your hope in this situation that we're facing, in this sickness that we're going through, the truth of the hope in the grief that we have, the truth of the hope in the crap that is being flung at us. In the midst of our praying for our loved ones to know the truth of the love of God, where is your hope in this, God? God, we're crying out for you to stand up for yourself and for us and to show your love and grace and goodness. Where is your truth? What is the truth in this situation? Maybe for others of us this morning, it's not just that you're crying out to God in the midst of a situation, but you're going, is God actually who he says he is? Can I trust him to be who he says he is? And is it actually worthy and trustworthy to put my hope in him? What is the truth of God? And this Good Friday, what is the truth of Easter for us? What is the truth for us that God is proclaiming? Well, as we consider today the truth of the crucified King, I want to give us three truths around what this means for us in our lives, what it means about who Jesus is, and what it looks like for us to live in this. And these three truths are this. First, we have the truth of the cross. The second, we have the truth of the crown of thorns. And the third, we have the truth of the King. And so first off, we have the truth of the cross. This thing that stands so starkly at the center of our faith. Not a pretty pendant cross on a necklace that we glorify thinking it looks good, but a rugged, brutal torture device. A device meant to kill and makes people suffer. But the cross matters for us because without it, Jesus actually doesn't get put to death for our sins. It is with the cross that we see the price be paid. See, this cross is not some comfortable thing for us to go, oh, well, yeah, it's nice that it's in Christianity. But actually, this is a brutal thing. It's a brutal cost that Jesus pays for us. And it's a reminder of the stark realities of what God has done. See, the Romans had mastered the art of pain and suffering and death on a cross. They knew how to use this instrument of torture to keep people in line. Criminals would spend days on a cross, struggling for breath, but unable to just die. Add to it that Jesus had also been whipped and beaten before going to the cross. And we see that actually the consequences of sin and the truth of the cross is that this is not some nice thing, but the cost of sin is grave. That is deep and powerful, and we need a king to go to the cross for us. And yet there is hope in the cross. It is in this wooden cross that we also are reminded that Jesus has redeemed us. We're reminded of the consequences of sin from the Garden of Eden onwards. See, when Adam and Eve chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of that tree was actually to bring death into our world. They'd sinned against God, they disobeyed him, and so the tree that was supposed to bring life had now brought death. But the tree that brings death is the tree that brings life for us. That the fruit of this tree, the fruit of the cross, with Jesus nailed to it, is the fruit of life and hope and restoration. The second truth for us this morning is the truth of the crown of thorns. Ione, as a florist, will tell you that there are bad plants, not morally evil plants, but plants that are a nightmare to work with because they will hurt you, they will prick you, they will just cut you up. And thorns are one of those things. If you've ever touched a plant with thorns on it, you know what it's like. But it's no fun. And it doesn't take a big thorn to cause a lot of trouble. A couple of weeks ago, I was out mowing our front lawn, and at the tree at the front around it is this wispy little rose bush that doesn't ever seem to flower, but it has thorns on it. I discovered this as I was pushing the mower past it and managed to catch just a tiny little thorn that caused a great scratch on my arm. Thorns are small things that do mighty damage. And Jesus takes on the crown of thorns. This crucified king is celebrated in pain. And yet, in this crown is actually a powerful reminder for us. See, one of the consequences of sin in the Garden of Eden, one of the things that came out of that, was actually that the ground would be cursed. That what was supposed to bring life and hope and be easy for us has turned into something that will only produce fruit and food for us through hard work. That thorns and thistles would now be growing in it. No longer do we have the lushness of the Garden of Eden, but we have the reality of toil and struggle and sweat. And as the cross redeems humanity, the fruit of the cross bringing life, so Jesus redeems humanity as well, or creation, through this crown of thorns. That creation is set free from the consequences of sin. And yet it's not just creation that is set free by this crown of thorns. It's also us. See, part of the curse of that, the ground being cursed, is that for us, we now struggle to work. Our identity has become around having to work harder and harder to do what we're supposed to do. And so often, our identity then becomes in what we produce. Then why would we trust God when I'm putting my hand to the till to work? That what I do in my job gives me my satisfaction. That what I have done and achieved in my life proves that I am worthy. And yet Jesus says with that crown of thorns, no. No longer is there the toil and struggle. Rest in what I have done. Be redeemed in my love. You're not worthy because of what you do. You're worthy because I am loved. And so as we look at the cross, we see the fruit of life in this tree through Jesus' death. We see the fruit of the redemption and restoration of creation and for us in our knowledge of God. And then also, we see the truth of the crucified king. The charge that is leveled against Jesus is that he is king of the Jews. It is a claim to messiahship. That the Jews were waiting for this king to come and set them free. But they use it in the negative sense here. In fact, if we read on further in John, we'd see that when Pilate puts the sign above Jesus that says the king of the Jews, the Jews actually argue against it and say, no, no, this man is not the king of the Jews. This man claimed to be king of the Jews. But Jesus is called king of the Jews. When Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus' response isn't to confirm or deny it. He says, who's telling you this? Are you saying this or is someone else putting these words in your mouth? And in following that, Jesus then goes on to talk about, yeah, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world, and I came to proclaim truth. See, what Jesus is saying in this moment is actually the truth of this crucified king is that he is inviting us into a different kingdom. A recognition that Christ is the king of the kingdom of God. The truth of the cross and the crucified king is that that's not the end of his kingdom. It's merely the beginning. Because in Jesus laying down his life, he's actually laying down his life that his people would know his love and grace and be in relationship with him. And the truth of this is that we are invited into a different kingdom, to a different way of being as a result. That we are invited into relationship with God. Restoration, redemption, and healing. Knowing that he has borne for us the consequences of sin. That he has borne the punishment that we deserved. That we might know him. That we might walk freely in relationship with him. That we might trust him. And that in this now and not yet fulfilled time of God's kingdom, we would be living for him and his glory. See, the truth of the crucified king is not that we worship a God who doesn't care one iota about us. The truth of the crucified king is that we worship a God who cares so much for us that he came, did what we couldn't do, died the death that we deserve, that we might know his love. And so as we look at the cross, we see that Jesus is king of the Jews. And Pilate put the sign above Jesus' head in the three common languages of the time. And nowadays we often see this sign with inri, which comes from the Latin for the first letter of each of these words. Jesus, King, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So what is truth? It's the question that Pilate asked Jesus. But if truth and belief don't always go hand in hand, perhaps the better question for us this morning is, what do we believe? If we know the truth about who Jesus is and what he has done, are we believing in him? Are we trusting in him as the crucified king? The one who in the cross gives us the fruit of life and restoration, The one who in the crown of thorns gives us the identity as children of God, made safe not by our toil, but by his work for us. And in the King of the Jews, this one who has come to save the world and make God's grace, mercy, love, and power known. And so today I invite you to respond. What do you believe? Are you going to put your trust and hope in God, knowing the truth of the cross, the thorns, and this crucified king? And as a reminder that what God does for us is not just about us, but it also takes us back to that relationship with God in the garden. I'm going to invite you, as we sing the next couple of songs, to come and place some dirt at the foot of the cross, going, God, my messiness has been taken and restored and redeemed by the work of you. And spend some time giving thanks to God, praising him for what he has done, asking him to remind you of the truth this morning. Let me pray. God, we thank you that you are Lord of all. We thank you that you are a God who brings hope and redemption. God, this morning, would you help us to walk knowing the truth of you, knowing the truth of what you have done this Easter. And God, would you help us to proclaim you in all we do, believing in you and the hope you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.